It's hard to know the exact numbers, but Wicca is believed to be one of the fastest growing religions among high school and college students. This form of witchcraft, with its reverence for the earth and nature, appeals to young environmentalists, and Wicca's emphasis on a goddess as well as a god draws young girls. Today, the final part of our series on religious trends in America, NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty talks to teenagers in Colorado about the lure of Wicca.
As the name implies, you can expect more than a cappuccino when you walk into Oh My Goddess Coffee House. The cafe in downtown Denver is a favorite hangout for caffeine-deprived pagans. And on this Sunday afternoon, it's dominated by a half a dozen teenagers trying to wedge themselves into an old brown couch. At first, their conversation seems normal teenage fare, until it turns to the supernatural.
My mom collects tarot cards like there's no
Does she have a vampire deck?
Yeah, she's got a vampire, dragon, Lord of the Rings, anything and everything.
Almost all of these kids were brought up in homes where the father or mother or both are witches. And so they are keenly aware of the stereotypes.
We sacrifice cats, apparently.
Or children, I've heard.
Cats, that's what I've heard.
Well, what's in most people's minds is, I'm guilty!
They, too, practice Wicca, a religion based in nature that includes a god and a goddess, pagan rituals, and magic spells. 15-year-old Tanith Murphy Mixby tried a spell on a girl in 7th grade who was horrible to her. Tanith's tools, an amethyst, 3 mirrors, and a picture of the girl.
And I decided that, this is something I'm really proud of, but I decided that she was probably really unhappy about something. And so I did a basic little kind of spell, and symbolically, the way I structured it was that any energy that came out of her, symbolically, her picture, changed to good energy, bounced back exactly to her, and good things started happening to her. She started being nicer because she was happier. That kind of thing really does work.
Most teen Wiccans are not out of the broom closet. In part because of that, it's hard to know how many teens are involved in Wicca. Estimates range from 50,000 to 150,000. Helen Berger, a sociologist at Westchester University in Pennsylvania, is writing a book about young Wiccans. She began noticing the surge in teen interest with the release of a certain film in 1996, when witchcraft became young and glamorous.
Guardian of the Bitter Sea. Show us your glory. Show us your power.
The Craft, a little-known movie among adults, was a hit among teenage girls and changed the way they thought about witches.
There's a stereotype that everybody knows from Halloween, an elderly woman with a pointed hat and warts, preferably green.
Helen Berger.
Shows like The Craft and the TV shows like Charmed and Buffy and Sabrina all help to make the image cool. They are young, hip, middle school, high school, college women.
The majority of young witches are girls, which may be why Mattel introduced Secret Spells Barbie at Halloween last year. The doll came with witch costume, cauldron, and magic powder. For many young witches, their community is the internet, where they swap emails, ideas, and spells. The most popular site, witchvox.com, lists more than 250 college groups and nearly 400 teenage groups. And there's been a veritable tidal wave of new books aimed at teenagers interested in Wicca.
We have A Teen's Guide to Witchcraft, Teen Wicca by Ravenwolf, Seasons of Magic, A Girl's Journey. We've got The Witch and the Wizard, which is a wizard.
Laura Westfall manages Celebration New Age in Colorado Springs, a store that sells herbs, altars, and incense. As she puts it, all your worshiping needs. Westfall says a lot of teenagers come here when they want to learn about Wicca. Even 9 and 10-year-olds bring their parents. For the most part, she says, kids want to learn about spells.
If it's a boy, a lot of times protection, like if they do sports. Girls, it's always love.
Around the corner, 18-year-old Jessica is scouring the herb section. Jessica, who asked that her last name not be used, was gathering ingredients for Imbolc, a ritual that welcomes the coming of spring.
I use a lot of basil just because it's something I can find in my kitchen. My parents are always running out of basil and they're not really sure why.
Jessica is a serious girl with a wide open face, long brown hair, and an air of quiet deliberation. Quiet, that is, until she talks about her faith.
I'm an extremely spiritual person. Like, I have so much faith, it's ridiculous. Like, when I was Christian, I did it all the way, hardcore. Like, I don't know what I would do without any kind of religion at all.
Jessica began exploring witchcraft when she was 13 or so, to the horror of her parents, who are evangelical Christians. She says that Christianity didn't, quote, fill the space in her soul that religion occupies. When she tried to connect with the Christian God, she says, it was like talking to air. Then she began reading about Wicca and the god and goddess.
I gotta tell you, once I started talking to the Lord and Lady, it's like actually talking to somebody. Like, I'm never just talking to air. There was no more empty space.
Jessica says she read every book she could find about Wicca. She was never much interested in spellcraft. Rather, she was drawn to the oneness with nature and with the spirit world. Her friend Charissa says her spiritual journey began with fairies, little beings she has sensed ever since she was a little girl. Charissa, who's 15 and as lively as a pixie, says fairies led her to Wicca, and when she found Wicca, it was like coming home.
It was kind of like calling to me. The goddess is calling to me, and she's kind of like guiding me, like helping me along the way and saying, it's okay, you're fine, I'm here for you, and stuff like that.
Perhaps the best part of Wicca, Charissa says, is its infinite variety. You can personalize your beliefs with, say, Buddhist meditation or Celtic worship, or, in her case, fairies.
You can change it around to make it your own. There's no set way of doing it.
Which doesn't mean the faith is without rules, as Jessica explains.
You can do whatever kind of spells you want, but if you're going to be a Wiccan, you're going to follow certain rules. You don't do anything that harms anyone. You don't do anything that messes with free will. Those are the two big ones.
Which means that love spells are technically a bad idea because they play with another person's free will. Revenge spells, she says, will backfire and bring tragedy upon you. Which is one reason Jessica and Charissa stay away from spellcraft, although they take the seasonal rituals very seriously.
I think that if we all got like a coin or something, and then we could meditate on...
As sunlight floods into Charissa's bedroom, the two girls excitedly make their preparations. The bedside table becomes a makeshift altar. They unwrap a cauldron and fill it with what they call consecrated water. They set up candles. They sort through incense and herbs.
I wish I had brought my basil stash.
I know. I get it at my mom's, like, she's like, my basil's all gone. I'm like, I didn't take it.
See, everyone does it.
Soon they're ready to cast their circle.
Call upon the watchtowers of the north, element of earth. Hear us, be witness to this working.
The girls light candles in each corner of the room and then sprinkle the consecrated water with a little broom to make a circle about 8 feet in diameter.
I am the dark grandmother of time. I am wisdom and knowledge. I am the waning phase of the moon.
They begin praising the goddess and aligning themselves with her power.
I am the black knights. I am the coiling snake. I am the howl of the wolf. I am the tomb. I am Morgan.
Finally, the girls open the circle, dismissing the spirits and thanking the god and goddess.
Thanks to the triple goddess, the maiden, the mother, and Kern for being with us this evening. You're always with us. Thank you.
Blessed be.
Blessed be.
After the ritual, Jessica says teenagers are drawn to Wicca for the power it gives them.
I mean, I get up and I go to school and I come home and I go to work and I do homework and I go to bed and I get up and I go to school and I go home and I do homework, and it's just, you have no time to stop. And Wicca really gives you some power. I mean, you make stuff happen for your life and you're not waiting around for your parents or your teachers or anything else to make stuff happen for you. You're doing it.
Jessica says her faith has come at a price, almost constant battles with her mother, who has opposed her involvement with Wicca since day one.
My dad's Christian, big time. He doesn't even want me to get a tattoo because it doesn't glorify the Lord, so. But I haven't told him I'm Wiccan yet because he would go insane.
Jessica says she is astounded at how many kids, quote, have a book and a candle hidden under their bed, but most don't tell their parents. Steve Russo hosts a Christian talk show for young people and is writing a book about teenage Wicca. He agrees parents are, by and large, unaware.
I've had parents call me or email me and say, you know, I went into my son or daughter's room, I found this strange-looking altar, I found these daggers, there's candle wax drippings all over. Do I have a problem? And you know, you want to say, yeah, you've got a problem because you've got a son or a daughter that's dealing with some issues in a way that's not healthy for them, and you need to be involved in their life and help them through this process.
Come on, Ted, let's sing it. I love you, Lord. Yeah.
Christian teenagers seem more clued in than adults. Here at New Life Church, an evangelical church in Colorado Springs, some 500 kids are crowded up to the stage where a band starts off the Thursday night service. Kaylee Hahn is one of them. A high school sophomore, she's seen a number of kids in her school change.
Like when someone goes into some type of witchcraft, like they start dressing differently, start acting differently, start talking differently, and I think that's just like the outside effects of it. And so to me, like, if their appearance is changing, then it's obviously taking over who they are.
Tara Caldwell, a high school senior, adds that playing with Wicca is dangerous.
You just get to a certain point to where you really have sold yourself to Satan, and then he kind of has free reign over your life, and then you're just in over your head.
Wiccans like Jessica say they don't believe in Satan, or in hell for that matter. But the teenager says if the Wiccan path is not scary, it is lonely.
It's hard, because Christianity, you feel lost, you go to church. And there's set paths, like you have the Bible, you have church. They tell you what to do, they tell you how you should live your life. And this is so open, and it just seems like it would be so much easier just to be something orthodox.
But Jessica is determined to pursue this path, she says, for the rest of her life. And she finds some solace in older friends, other pagans who are gathered under the dim lights of a Colorado Springs community center.
Spirits of the north, the earth, I welcome you, bring us your protection, your wisdom, your power. Hail and welcome.
Hail and welcome.
After invoking the god and the goddess, they pass bread and juice around the circle, whispering, "May you never hunger, may you never thirst." Eventually, the cup comes to Jessica and Charissa, who take a sip and join the song as the ritual closes.
Change us, touch us, touch us and change us.
Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.
Touch us. Touch us and change us. She changes.
You can hear other stories in this series at our website, npr.org.
She touches, changes. She changes everything she touches, and everything she touches changes.